You're listening to a sermon from Mission City Fellowship of San Antonio, Texas. Mission City Fellowship exists to make and mature disciples of Jesus Christ who live all of life for the glory of God and proclaim Christ for the joy of all people. If these church resources have been a benefit to you, we'd ask you consider giving to the continued gospel ministry of Mission City Fellowship. You can do that on our website at www.missioncityfellowshipsa.org and click Give.
Well, good morning. If you want to go ahead and take your Bibles and find, we'll actually be in a number of different passages this morning, a little bit different, but our first passage is going to actually be Leviticus 19. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, and we will get there in just a few moments. This week I was thinking about some of my fondest memories as a child were fellowships at my parents' house after the Sunday evening service. I don't know if you know this. This is not in vogue these days, but at one time, most churches had a Sunday morning service and a Sunday night service. And growing up, I loved the fellowship because often Sunday night after the service, my parents would invite other people to come over. There would be a meal involved. There will be just fellowshipping around Christ and encouraging and building relationships. And I have such great memories of that as a young kid, seeing the adults interact, being able to just obviously have fun with any kids that were coming over. My parents were basically, they were hosting fellowships, but really what they were doing was they were practicing hospitality. Hospitality is a very important concept in God's word. It isn't about having fancy food. Hospitality isn't about showcasing a spectacular home because my parents lived in a pretty plain house. There was not a lot to commend it. It wasn't awe-inspiring. It was a home that was being used as a place where God's people could enjoy eating together, being together, and encouraging one another. It was a simple time, but ultimately it was to promote Christian love, and it was to foster a Christ-centered kind of community. And that was deeply embedded into my experience and my memories. And I began growing up thinking that's part of the Christian life, that kind of thing. Hospitality is a vital Christian practice, really, that has fueled the growth of the church throughout its history. Actually, early church records tell us that it was through Christians practicing true biblical hospitality that in many ways helped the church to grow. Alan Kreider wrote a book, The Patient Ferment of the Early Church. It's a wonderful historical book. And he talks about the home as key to the gospel spreading. Christians use their homes to bring outsiders in. And they did that even though it was against a lot of cultural norms at the time. You might engage with people on your own socioeconomic level or who may be family, but you didn't associate beyond that. And Christians just obliterated those boundaries. They welcomed lonely people. They welcomed the outcast people. They welcomed the discarded people. They welcomed the marginalized people. These were the people they moved towards, not exclusively, but it was a group of people that nobody else in their society took notice of or cared about. And the home became strategic in the spread of the gospel. You see, because at the very heart of the gospel is this idea of hospitality. Hospitality is the very foundation of the Christian faith in so many ways. Hospitality is the cornerstone of the Christian way of life. This morning, we continue our sermon series. We call this Characteristics of a Christ-Centered Church. We're kind of doing, if you haven't figured this out, we're doing two series, well, actually three series at the same time. We are in John, which we'll pick back up sometime in the fall, I assume. But we're also doing Psalms, and we're also doing Characteristics of a Christ-Centered Church. Today is another sermon in the series of Characteristics of a Christ-Centered Church. Okay? That is what we're doing today. We are doing this specific series to promote those values and virtues that genuinely reflect our Lord Jesus. We're doing this series so that the Lord would establish these qualities in the very culture of our church. We want Him to wire these qualities into the very DNA of our church. We are doing this series, this specific series, so we might know and pray for and pursue these characteristics. You see, we believe this sermon series is capturing for us as a church, really the kind of church that the Lord intends to build and the kind of people we want to be. So it's important for that. For these reasons. Last week, as Phil mentioned already, he compelled us, Pastor Philip compelled us toward joyful generosity. It's a wonderful sermon. I encourage you to listen to it if you haven't already. Generosity and hospitality are different sides of the same coin in many ways. And well, here's what I mean by that. In so many ways, they are closely related. And they overlap each other in practice. So while there are some distinct ideas between generosity and hospitality, there's many similarities as well. In simplest terms, biblical hospitality, now however you've heard that word used, wherever it's been used before, we want to understand how the scripture uses it, right? That's what's important for us. Biblical, that's what I mean by biblical hospitality, is using what we have to love and help others in Christ. It is using what we have to love and help others in Christ. And hospitality has both a narrow application and it has a broad application. The original Bible word, the Greek word, that was used for hospitality is philoxenia. Right? You've used that just today, I'm sure, on your way to church. You were talking about philoxenia, right? Actually, that word philoxenia is made up of two smaller words. Philo means love. It's the same beginning, Philadelphia, love of brothers. Adelphia is brother, love of brothers. Philo means love. You know what xenia means? Stranger. Alien. So hospitality is a love, really it's speaking to a practical love, not just feelings. It's speaking to actually caring for someone who's actually not you. They're a stranger. So that's the narrow application, a love of stranger. Now, the broader application is that we are to love all people. So just knowing the definition of a word isn't enough. We have to know the context in which it's used. And often the word hospitality, it is used in the context of strangers, of people very different, of people not your family, of people not like us, strangers. But it is also used in the context of the family of God, that we are to show love. We are to use our resources to help people who are in the family of God. In other words, we're basically to love and use our resources to help all people. There's this broad application that we would understand here. It is love for all people, basically anyone who comes into our lives, anyone who intersects with us. We are to show them hospitality. We are to love them and treat them in a very particular and specific way. Hospitality is a welcoming spirit coming from a welcoming heart that uses our home, our money, our food, and our time to further God's work in other people, to be part of what God is doing in the lives of people that are all around us. It is using our resources. It is using the things that God has given to us for our enjoyment, but we're using it to love other people, to welcome other people, to make other people feel they may be a stranger, but we're making them feel as if they're family. These people could be fellow church members, they could be fellow Christians, they could be neighbors, or just out and out strangers, people completely different. We have no idea who they are. All we have is to be given to love others and to promote the work of Christ and the will of God in the people God brings into our lives. So let's hear that again. All we have is to be given to love others and to promote the work of Christ and the will of God in the people God brings into our lives. Okay? So we're going to look now at the biblical witness to hospitality. This is a very different sermon than we normally preach. We normally preach through text, we preach through chapters. This morning, we're going to be actually looking at the whole witness of Scripture, not every verse that has to do with this, but many verses that have to do with hospitality to get a sense of what God's Word collectively says on this subject. So again, we normally would open a chapter, we would just work through that chapter, explaining what it says and then what it means and how to applies. This morning, we're going to be using the same principle. Here's what it says, here's what it means, and how it applies, but we'll be using different verses while we're doing this so that we can have an understanding. And there are five verses that we're actually going to be dealing with this morning. The first is Leviticus 19, then Ephesians 2, Romans 12, Hebrews 13, and 1 Peter 4. And we'll come back to that, so you don't have to write those all down right now, but we are going to be dealing with those five verses. Now, actually, there are a couple other direct references to hospitality in the New Testament, but they are really applied in very specific situations. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, one of the character qualities to be in widows that should describe godly widows is that they show hospitality. So it's used in that context for widows. And actually, there was another specific thing that was going on about caring for widows. But one of the things that is taught about that widows are to be those who demonstrate hospitality. But also in 1 Timothy chapter 3, one of the requirements of an elder or a pastor or an overseer, and we use those words interchangeably, is that they be hospitable. They love strangers. They practically care for other people. I think that is striking that those who lead and feed and care for the church must be those who are actively practicing hospitality. So there are those other two references, one that specifically in the context of widows, the other in the context of pastors. But we actually see this as being applicable to everybody. So this morning, there are three basic truths concerning hospitality for us to consider. Three basic truths concerning hospitality for us to consider. Number one, hospitality is the very heart of our Heavenly Father. Hospitality is the very heart of our Heavenly Father. Leviticus 19, verse 33, this is part of the law. This is part of the old covenant law, the agreement that God had with his people. He would be their God. They would be his people. They had requirements on themselves that God had given to his people in the old covenant. And this is what it says, Leviticus 19:33. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. And you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. His command there is in the context of like, I am the Lord your God. Basically, he's saying, this matters to me. It needs to matter to you. This was part of the agreement between God and his people in the old covenant. This was law for them. This was required. This was something they had to do. This was This was to be how they lived and how they treated those among them who were not of them. This was on God's heart for God's people. They were to treat the stranger who stays among them as if they were one of their own. These strangers might have a different dialect. They might have different accents. They might be from different cultures with different diets, with different values. It could be someone from a neighboring village or from a neighboring nation. Yet they were to love them, love these people as themselves. God's heart for the stranger, for the alien, so to say, was to be on display in his people, just as he was reminding them of what happened to them when they were in Egypt, strangers in the land. God was saying, listen, my people, I want you to have a tender place. I want you to have a tender place in your heart for the strangers who are among them. Help them, care about them. See, but hospitality actually goes even further back than Leviticus 19. In the creation account itself, we find God's hospitality on display. God made a home, the Garden of Eden, and this home was suited well for humanity to thrive in their enjoyment of God and to thrive in all that he had made for them, for them to enjoy. God made a place for people to live that would serve his purpose in his life. He made a place for them to live where they could be in fellowship with one another. And he brought them to it. This was in the very heart of God. Human hospitality is both a reflection of God's hospitality, and at the same time, it's an extension of God's hospitality, of how he's always operated to bring people into a place, to bring people into some kind of environment where they are welcomed and they're accepted and they can thrive. But truly, we do see this in the creation event. We do see this in the law that he gave them. But really, God's hospitality finds its greatest expression in Jesus Christ in the gospel. Ephesians 2. Turn there. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Hear what it says. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's hospitality he's talking about here. Look at what Christ did for us who were alienated, we who were strangers, we who had no hope, we who were without God in this world. He came after us and he brought us near by the blood of Jesus. Everything about God and everything about Christ's atoning work and everything about our salvation has at its root this concept of hospitality. Hospitality is the very heart of God because redemption is the very heart of God. When we open our hearts to others, to strangers and neighbors and fellow Christians all alike, we are proclaiming the power of the gospel and displaying the heavenly heart of our Father. That's the first truth. Hospitality is the very heart of our Heavenly Father. The second truth: hospitality is a mandate for Christ's people. It is a mandate for Christ's people. Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, actually verse 13, excuse me. Romans 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Practicing hospitality isn't just for a select few. This is for all of us who follow Christ. While elders, again, are to demonstrate hospitality, all followers of Christ are to demonstrate hospitality. The context of hospitality, that word in this verse, is the community of saints. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So the context here is among brothers and sisters, you should be using what God has given to you to further and promote and love people and come alongside people so that they might grow in grace and grow in faith. Among brothers and sisters, hospitality is to be shown. Hebrews 13, verse 2. This verse places hospitality in the context of strangers. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. He goes on and he talks about, because you don't know, these strangers may be some, maybe beings that you're not even aware of. Angels, we're entertaining angels unaware. But it's strangers here. So this word is used in both those contexts. Hospitality is a command. That's what I want you to see from these two verses. Hospitality is not a suggestion. This is the law of Christ for us. And it is not optional. This is the law of Christ for us, and it's not tied to how we feel. It's not tied to how we were raised. It's not tied to our income or educational levels. It is tied to Christ himself and part of what it means to follow him. We are told in this verse to seek to show hospitality. The word seek literally means to run quickly towards. To run quickly. We're moving quickly towards hospitality in our lives and in our relationships. The Lord wants us to get to hospitality quickly. Well, let's take a moment and think about this. I have called hospitality, practicing hospitality, the law of Christ, and such it is. This is what our Lord requires of us. I hope we can agree on that. But what do we also know about the relationship between law and gospel? This is vital because this applies to everything we are commanded to do, everything we are instructed to do, everything we are required to do. The law is good and it is true, but listen, it also kills. It tells us what to do, but it doesn't enable us to do it. It tells us what to do, but it doesn't give us the desire to do it. It tells us what to do, but it doesn't give us any help in understanding how to do it. It just says, do this or don't do that. This is why one of the main purposes, Paul tells us in Romans and in Galatians, one of the main purposes of the law is to drive us to Christ. You see, the law sets up the gospel. The law leads us to the one who paid for our law breaking and then works in us by his Spirit to bring a heart-driven and joyful obedience to the law. Listen, we must be faithful to always connect law and gospel. But if all we do is settle on the law, we will be miserable. And this is too often where Christians go. We give law to each other. You ought to do this. You ought to not to do that. Listen, all that does is just kills, ultimately. If our next statement isn't, and here's how God provides. Here's what God has done. Here's how the Lord comes alongside. He knows we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were under the judgment of the law. He came and he took the law and fulfilled it in himself. And now he indwells us. We have provision for obedience. It's in Christ. The gospel, hear this, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, not the law. The law is the power of God to condemnation. The law gives us God's holiness, and the law tells us of God's perfection, but it also judges us for our sin, and it judges us for our defiance of God's holiness and perfection. Think about this in your conversations with one another. Why we keep pushing on these things. Why we want us to get to the gospel. Why we really want to be a grace-centered kind of people. We don't just speak law on people. We point them to the provision of Christ. You know who was good at pointing law? The Pharisees. And Jesus condemned them again and again because they didn't understand the weightier issues. So again, we hear the truth that what the law requires of us, Christ fulfills in us. So in this scenario, we hear about showing hospitality and we're like, oh, wow. If all we hear is the law and we're not immediately turning to Christ, how are you going to fulfill this in me? What are you going to do? How have you empowered me? What have you set me free from that allows this to now take place? Then often we just end up condemned and tired and miserable. So in this, when we hear, yes, this is the law of Christ. This is what our Savior tells us to do. We are to be those who practice hospitality. When we hear this, hopefully our next action is to go to the Lord in gratitude for saving us, for making us new creations, and then asking Him, Lord, I want to do this, but I need your help. I need your energy. I need you to direct my steps in this. Lord, because I'm going to fail. I'm going to come up short. So I know I'm going to sin here at some point, but I know I'm covered because of the gospel, because Jesus paid it all. Listen, we are not to slide our way into hospitality, but the verse here again is we're to run towards it. So we're going to the Savior. Lord, I want to do this. I want to know what this looks like. I want to practice this. I want this on display in my life. Now, I'm going to end this sermon in just a little bit, talking about some practical ways that we can run toward hospitality. But before we get to that, there is one more truth to consider. It is mandated for all Christians, this final truth. Hospitality confronts our inward selfish tendencies. Hospitality confronts our inward selfish tendencies. Hebrews 13:2 and 1 Peter 4:9. We have already mentioned, we need to look at Hebrews 13. Basically, where we are told, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Now, we talked about the stranger part of that a little bit. But really, the focus is on showing hospitalities to strangers. But the force of the verse is in that instruction, do not neglect. Do not neglect. The word neglect looms large in this verse. Neglect means that to stop paying attention. It means to no longer give it the importance that it deserves. We are told not to neglect showing hospitality, and this applies to strangers here specifically, but certainly we would know it applies to all people. Why say this? Why say, do not neglect? Why say, make sure you don't stop paying attention to this? Here's why, because it's easy to neglect this. It's so easy for us to neglect this in the busyness of our lives. Modern lives are full on many levels, but listen. Don't kid yourself. For God's people in any generation, in any century, it's all been busy. These people that he was writing to, they spent their life making sure they had enough food to live. We don't think that way because we have so many conveniences. We have so much for us. But their lives were very full, just was living and taking care of things. It's no different, listen. But there are incredible things that fill our lives. Parents working full-time jobs in order to make ends meet. There's the raising kids. There's the paying of the bills. There's work responsibility, family commitments. There's the cooking and the cleaning. But let's be clear. God's word doesn't give us an out. Show hospitality, but only if you're not too busy. This verse does not say, if you're busy, it's okay to neglect hospitality. John Piper had a wonderful sermon, a wonderful teaching on hospitality. Actually, it's from 1985, I think it was. And he said this, and this is the quote. Evidently, hospitality is something that can easily fall into neglect. The physical force of gravity pulls everything to the center of the earth. In order to break free from earth-centered life, thousands and thousands of pounds of energy have to push the space shuttle away from the center. There is also a psychological force of gravity that constantly pulls our thoughts and affections and physical actions inward toward the center of our own selves and our own homes. Therefore, the most natural thing in the world is to neglect hospitality. It is the path of least resistance. All we have to do is yield to the natural gravity of our self-centered life, and the result will be a life so full of self that there is no room for hospitality. We will forget about it, and we will neglect it. So the Bible bluntly says, stop that. Build a launching pad, fill up your boosters, and blast out of your own self-oriented routine. Stop neglecting hospitality. Practice hospitality. When you hit resistance to practicing hospitality, the response should be confession and repentance. That's our first thing. It's not coming up with a plan or how you're going to, it's like, no, I'm in disobedience here. I'm in sin at this point. I need to acknowledge this before the Lord. I need to acknowledge maybe that my heart isn't right here. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. And with this confession and repentance comes honest prayer for the work of the Spirit to make this happen. The centrifugal force of our busy modern life easily makes our focus inward. Our God wants our focus to be outward. Our selfish tendencies can manifest in ways that neglecting hospitality becomes all too easy and all too often. But it is also not okay to neglect showing hospitality because it makes us uncomfortable. We may think, yeah, I'm busy, but some of us are like, this really is making me uncomfortable. Showing hospitality exposes our inward selfish tendencies there too. So we must be aware of this. And we must be wise in application of this. There are those people who love crowds, who love being around people. They are energized. They get around people. After 3 hours, they leave, and they're just full of energy, right? They hear this instruction on hospitality, and they're saying, great, let's do this. I'm in. Then there are those who, while still loving people and caring about people, but being around people, being around crowds, it depletes them. They are hearing this, and their anxiety is starting to rise. Of course, I'm talking about the general categories of extroverts and introverts. The truth is, we're all called to hospitality, whether we may lean toward extrovert or introvert. We're still called to this. But it is important that we practice hospitality wisely with recognition of our limitations. Let me tell you. And this is about Terry, and I asked her if I could share this, so you don't have to, like, I'm not, she already knows this is coming. I know of no one who loves people more and wants to help people walk in faith and follow Christ than my wife, Terry. But I also know that constantly being around people depletes her emotionally and physically, much more than it does me. We learned this the hard way earlier in our life, in our marriage, and in our ministry. We learned the hard way not to ignore this reality. Her issue wasn't loving people or neglecting hospitality. It was the effect of loving others and showing hospitality that was taking a cumulative toll that I was slow to recognize. For years, we ignored this limitation, and it came at a great cost that literally leveled her for 2 years, wiped her out. This wasn't a matter of just having more faith. It wasn't a matter of just punching through. But again, showing hospitality is not a choice. We must do that, but we must learn to do it in ways that are healthy. We learned how to show hospitality in ways that reflect God's heart and also human frailty. We know when we go through a period of lots of people in our home and lots of people engagement, there has to be time where we pull away to renew and refresh. And we don't feel guilty about that. If you don't struggle with this, be careful about judging people who do. It is not sin to say, yes, we want to show hospitality, but it must be done in ways that do not emotionally and physically empty a person. So even this is what began to happen and what we learned. So even when we would pull back, even when we would take time to renew and refresh, in that time period, we were always talking about how we're going to reengage when we come back. Because hospitality isn't an option. How are we going to come back? Who are we going to engage with? Who do we need to connect with? What needs to happen in our fellowship group? Whatever it may be, because we're always to show hospitality. And we do this because it is a joy to share with others the hospitality we have received from the Lord. It's His hospitality filling us, even if that hospitality is limited by our weakness. We must not neglect hospitality no matter what. Our heart must be to pay attention to this. First Peter tells us something else. It tells us we are to show hospitality without grumbling. 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Yes, it is inconvenient and it's costly on many levels, but it is the joy of the Lord that's to be displayed here. If you find yourself often grumbling about this, I just thank the Lord, like, okay, Lord, thank you for bringing this to mind. Thank you for this sermon that is helping me see your word, because I want to align with the truth here. That points this out for me so I can confess and I can repent and I can see you do a different work in my life now. Give me a different heart for this. Forgive me for complaining. Forgive me for having possibly maybe a stingy heart that begrudges using what I have to love other people. Again, the context of 1 Peter 4, verse 9 is do not neglect showing hospitality to brothers and sisters. And we must do it without grumbling. This can be a point of prayer maybe for us, an area to grow in grace. Lord, how can I use all you gave me in support of others growing in grace and walking with you? Lord, make my heart like yours. Lord, I hate how stingy, I hate grumbling. I don't want to do that. That's repentance. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to turn away from that. I want to walk with you in the power of the Spirit. I want to see something different being born in my life. I want to see different fruit. Lord, do that in me. That's the hope and the power of the gospel on display. Lord, make my heart like yours. Let me express the same hospitality that you gave me. Welcome me in, moving me from an alien and a stranger to a child of God and part of your people. Hospitality has a way of exposing our inwardness, doesn't it? Our selfishness. And we want to be aware of that. And that may mean that we need to be like, yeah, I really want to grow in that. Maybe this is an area where you want to say, Lord, for the rest of this year, I want to grow in understanding what hospitality is. I want a heart that turns towards that and leans towards that. And I want to practice this. I'm not sure how, but Lord, teach me. Maybe that's something you would pray and do. But hospitality has a way of exposing our heart. I want to end with just a few areas of application for hospitality. Some things that we've been touching on, but I want to say specifically. Number one is this. Hospitality is not about fancy meals and immaculately clean houses. Learn to be okay with just okay. Learn to be okay with just okay. The purpose of hospitality is not that people leave saying, what a great meal or what an awesome house, but they leave saying, what a great Savior and what a joy to be part of His people. If all you can do is hot dogs, then do hot dogs and be grateful for it and then move on. If you didn't get to every cleaning thing, and let me help you, men, because We don't suffer with this like our wives do, I don't think. It's like, I don't see dust unless it's a big ball about that big, you know? Terry sees it on a microscopic level. And she's very aware, you know, oh, we got to clean it. It's been too long. We got to do it. And it's like, and yes, you do want to care and take care of and clean your house. I'm not saying like, just let it go. But when it comes to hospitality, that doesn't matter. Be okay with it being okay. It's not about fancy meals. It's about having an open heart, an open home, an open schedule, an open ear, and an open wallet. I tell you this, when I was in high school, a friend invited my mom to her church for a Christmas concert. One Sunday evening, her church choir was doing a Christian concert. Back then, you called them cantatas. But this was a Christian concert. My mom asked if I would go with her, so I did. After the Christmas concert, my mom invited this friend over for just a light supper and snacks. Mom told her, hey, if you'd like to invite a few other people, that'd be great. Our friend misunderstood and ended up inviting the whole choir. Suddenly, there were 30 plus people coming in 15 minutes to the house for a light supper and snacks in a church we weren't even members of, you know. In that moment, my mom put together what she had. She sent me to the store to pick up a few things. She asked another friend, grab what's in your fridge and come over. But she did this to facilitate fellowship and to encourage Christian love and affection. And it was okay with whatever she had. It was the heart to serve people. In so many ways, I'm just so grateful for the Christian example and heritage that I have from my family and from my parents. It wasn't about the food or how the house looked. It was about the people coming and welcoming them as brothers and sisters. I learned something that night that simple really is fine. It's about the people. I think about Martha and Mary, right? Were you thinking about that? Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? Just listening, fellowship with Jesus. Martha running around, trying to get a lot of the preparations, fussing about food, whatever has to happen, and getting really angry, not at Mary, but at Jesus. Lord, what you need to correct her. And what does he do? He corrects Martha. Says, Martha, you're so busy about so many, and only a few things are really needed, really just one. And Mary found it out. It's being with me. It's about fellowship with me. And that's what hospitality ultimately is about. It's just providing an environment. It's not that you have to have a deep Bible study or an hour in prayer. It's about being together as brothers and sisters. Hospitality. It really is. It's not about fancy meals in clean houses. Second application, hospitality is often in a meal. It's often in a meal. Food is a big thing in Scripture, right? From the feast of the Old Covenant to the Lord's Supper in the New Covenant, there's something wonderful can happen when we intentionally share meals together. This is one of the reasons why we try to incorporate into our fellowship group. We're sitting down and having a meal together once a month in the fellowship group. Our meals, over meals, Christ-centered relationships can form. Just this week, I had dinner with a young man. And as a result of this dinner, this meal with this young man, who I didn't know very well, we became more than just acquaintances. He became a friend. And as we talked, our bond as brothers in Christ grew. And I had some really good enchiladas, but that's secondary. It was over a meal because eating together, there's this welcoming. Use your meals to engage with people. The recurring theme in biblical hospitality often is a meal. Tim Chester, he highlights the significance of meals when he writes, "Food matters. Meals matter. Meals are full of significance. Few acts are more expressive of companionship than the shared meal. Someone with whom we share food is likely to be our friend or well on the way to becoming one." Actually, the word companion, the word we have for companion comes from the Latin, two Latin words that means together and bread. It's breaking bread together. Do you remember back in the 90s? Well, for those of you who were alive, back Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat was the leader of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. Rabin was the prime minister of Israel. What was happening was under President Clinton, they got them two together and they came up with, I believe it's called the Oslo Peace Accords. And it was supposed to be this revolutionary thing to bring peace between the Palestinians and Israel. And of course, we're seeing how effective that was. But here's the thing I want you to notice about that. The big picture that was in all the papers, that was on all the news at night, was a picture of Arafat and Rabin shaking hands. See, they're coming together here. What they didn't report was they refused to eat together, though. See, they really hadn't set aside anything. This was for show. Shaking hands didn't mean anything. They knew to sit down with someone and eat. It's a significant thing that's happening there. And they refused to do that. Hospitality is often in a meal. Third, hospitality comes from our homes. Pray and work and seek and pursue being a home that welcomes all people. Nothing quite breaks a barrier like a person being in your home where they are made to feel welcomed and accepted like they're one of the family. They're treated like your own. Use your home to invite people for meals. This is some of the areas that Terry and I have talked about that we want to grow in. We want to invite our neighbors who are unbelievers, who are not godly as far as we know, but to bring them into a home where they see what true Christian love is like, to share a meal with people. I think sometimes it can be easier for us to thank evangelism, whether it's sharing in a park or sharing door to door or sharing just out and about. Listen, sometimes that's easier than it is engaging with people who live next door to us and who really know us and see us. Our homes are to be used in hospitality. Fourth, and finally, hospitality through our church. May we intentionally share meals with each other. May we intentionally open up homes, our homes with each other. Let me challenge you this week, just in the power of the Spirit, find someone you have or a family you have never sat down to a meal with and invite them over in August. Though no bigger agenda other than just coming together as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. August is our grace month where we don't have fellowship groups. Maybe this is a month where you can just extend this, find somebody you don't know and do it with an intention that you want to know them. It's a purposeful intention to get to know them and to find out what fills their life and to know them well enough to pray for them and to know them well enough that the next Sunday you see them, you can ask a follow-up question about your conversation and what you know about their life. That shows that they're important, that you care. But we also can show hospitality to those who come for worship each Sunday. It's just such a tremendous blessing. People stepping up and helping with the setup and the tear down. This is an expression of hospitality. You're making this space a welcoming environment so others will encounter Christ in the gospel. That's hospitality. People who are setting up and running our sound system, it's the same thing. It's an expression of hospitality. Those who are caring and working with their kids, that's hospitality on display. People who will be serving in our safety team that is being formed, it's ultimately about hospitality. See, hospitality is part of the very fabric of the Christian way of life. Of course, there's the welcome table. That should be obvious to us. Somebody who's out there greeting people, because it's awkward for people coming to a theater for worship. It's a little bit more normal. I think our kids growing up in this are like, well, all churches like this. But there's a lot of things we have to overcome to help people feel welcomed, for this to be an accepting, welcoming environment. So it's strategic what happens at that table, welcoming people, making sure they know where to go, making sure that they know about communion, making sure they know about resources, making sure if they have kids that they're being checked in. It's about showing basic hospitality, welcoming, accepting people so that Christ might have his work in them. Each Sunday, in so many ways, is an opportunity to be obedient to this mandate to show hospitality. May we grow in our understanding of biblical hospitality, and may we grow in our practice of biblical hospitality. May we learn, may the Lord do this among us. May we learn to have open hearts, open homes, open schedules, open ears, and open wallets for the purpose of pursuing hospitality. Let's pray.